Imagine letters that dance across the page like mischievous black beetles, refusing to stay put long enough to form words. This is sixth grader Allie Nickerson's reality. She's attended 7 schools in 7 years due to her father's military career, and at each one, she's perfected the art of hiding a painful secret. She can't read. Not because she doesn't want to, but because her undiagnosed dyslexia transforms text into an incomprehensible jumble. When asked to read aloud, panic sets in. Her mind blanks, palms sweat, and shame washes over her. Years of being called slow and dumb have convinced Allie she's broken beyond repair. Yet beneath this struggle lies a brilliant mind that works in vivid images rather than words. Allie excels at spatial reasoning and has a remarkable memory for things she hears. She keeps a sketchbook of impossible things, filled with fantastical drawings that reveal her rich inner world. But in a school system that prizes reading above all else, Allie's unique gifts remain invisible, even to herself. "Everyone thinks if you don't learn the way they teach, then you can't learn," she reflects bitterly. The isolation is crushing. She keeps her difficulties secret from everyone, including her hardworking mother and mechanically gifted brother, Travis. Some secrets feel too big to tell. Allie's classroom is a minefield where popularity functions as currency and differences become liabilities. Shay rules at the top, weaponizing her status against those who don't meet her standards. With sidekick Jessica, she's commodified friendship itself, charging girls for friendship bracelets that symbolize social acceptance. Shay targets Allie relentlessly, labeling her slow and freak. When Allie accidentally gives her pregnant teacher a sympathy card instead of a congratulations card, unable to read the text, Shay ensures everyone knows about this humiliating mistake. The dynamic shifts when Keisha arrives, a confident new student who refuses to follow Shay's rules. "I'm only different to the people who see with the wrong eyes," she tells Allie after confronting Shay. Meanwhile, Albert, brilliant but socially awkward, responds to bullying with scientific detachment. As these three outcasts form an alliance, they discover that not fitting in might actually be a blessing. Everything changes when Mr. Daniels becomes Allie's teacher. Unlike previous educators who saw only defiance, he senses something deeper. During their first interaction, he simply waits when Allie refuses to speak, creating space rather than making assumptions. His classroom buzzes with creative energy. Students write freely, solve puzzles, play chess, and engage in hands-on learning beyond worksheets. When Allie draws a black cube in her journal instead of writing, Mr. Daniels asks what it means. Her answer? That it represents a dark room where no one could see me because it would be easier to be invisible, reveals her inner struggles. His response? "I'm glad you're not invisible, Allie, because this class wouldn't be the same without you." The turning point comes during a field trip when Mr. Daniels finds Allie crying after being mocked. He suggests she might have dyslexia, explaining her difficulty reading doesn't mean she's unintelligent. Her brain just works differently. If you judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree, it will spend its whole life thinking that it's stupid, he tells her, offering the metaphor that transforms her self-perception. After years of avoiding close relationships to hide her dyslexia, Allie forms genuine friendships with Keisha and Albert. Confident and outspoken Keisha becomes her first real friend, offering wisdom beyond her years. "I'm only different to the people who see with the wrong eyes." Albert, with his encyclopedic knowledge and social awkwardness, completes their trio. When Allie confesses her secret, he responds with logical precision. "If nobody's perfect, and you're nobody, then logically, you're perfect." His literal-mindedness often yields profound insights that reshape Allie's perspective. Their friendship deepens when Albert and Keisha create matching shirts after Albert is teased. Allie says steel, Keisha's magnesium, and Albert's flint. Together, they can set the world on fire. Through these connections, Allie discovers that vulnerability can be strength. When she finally shares her dyslexia with them, their acceptance helps her begin accepting herself. This story challenges conventional definitions of intelligence. Traditional schooling privileges reading, writing, and math, labeling students who excel in these areas as bright, while overlooking other valuable strengths. Mr. Daniels introduces a revolutionary perspective by explaining that Allie's brain simply processes information differently. He uses the metaphor of multiple routes home. Information reaches the brain through different pathways for different people. When he shows the class pictures of famous figures who likely had dyslexia, Edison, Bell, Ford, Einstein, Da Vinci, Picasso, he reveals how many historical geniuses succeeded because of their differences, not despite them. Chess becomes a powerful metaphor for this understanding. As Allie masters the game, she discovers her natural talent for visualizing moves ahead, transforming her visual thinking into an advantage rather than a source of shame. She sees parallels between chess and life itself. Facing challenges requires strategy, planning, and the courage to take risks. Allie's journey towards self-acceptance unfolds through small acts of courage. When Shay nominates her for class president as a cruel joke, Allie confronts her fear of public speaking. Despite initially freezing, she speaks honestly and unexpectedly wins, tangible proof that others value her despite her self-doubt. Her most significant breakthrough comes when she stops hiding her dyslexia. After years of elaborate deceptions, being known and accepted brings profound relief. When Shay tries to weaponize Allie's dyslexia, Albert defends her by noting that symmetrical letters actually indicate intelligence, transforming her greatest shame into something unremarkable. By the story's end, Allie develops what Mr. Daniels calls mind over matter muscles, resilience to face challenges without being defined by them. When she successfully reads a motivational poster that once tormented her, it symbolizes her growth. The message reads, "Sometimes the bravest thing you can do is ask for help." As Allie's story concludes, her self-acceptance creates ripples affecting everyone around her. Discovering Travis shares her dyslexia deepens their connection, reframing his mechanical genius as part of his cognitive profile rather than separate from intelligence. The classroom transforms with Allie's newfound confidence. Former mockers seek her input for student government, while Oliver finds acceptance in this environment where differences are valued. Even Shay shows vulnerability when her mother criticizes her after the election loss, though she rebuffs Allie's attempt to connect. Aren't we all fish being judged by our ability to climb trees? This story reminds us that differences aren't deficiencies. They're simply different ways of navigating the world. When you meet someone who learns differently, look beyond their struggles to discover their unique gifts. As Mr. Daniel says, great minds don't think alike. And thank goodness for that.